Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome our many listeners, not only in this country but throughout the world, but also to welcome the four dynamic and diverse personalities who are going to play Just a Minute this week. With pleasure, we welcome back that clever, witty, and man who plays a show with such humorous panache, Paul Merton. We also welcome back, after a bit of an absence, actually, someone who's equally clever and witty at playing the game, that is Stephen Fry, and someone who plays the game with wonderful feminine charm and verve, and that is Lisa Tarbuck, and someone who's been playing the game with incredible skill for more years than we care to remember, that is Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I am going to ask them to speak on a subject that I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Janet Staplehurst, who's going to help me keep the score. She'll blow a whistle when the 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute comes from the Radio Theatre in the heart of Broadcasting House in the West One District of London. And we have a truly cosmopolitan audience in front of us, excited and ready for us to get going. So let us start the show with Paul Merton. And Paul, the subject in front of me is crow's feet. Will you tell us something about crow's feet in just a minute, if you can, starting now?
Well, crow's feet, I suppose, aren't as useful to the crow as crow's wings. We tend to measure distances by how far the crow flies rather than how far is the petition.
Clement Freud challenged.
Repetition.
Repetition of how far. Yes, Clement, you have a point for that, because you have a correct challenge. You take over the subject. It's crow's feet, and there are 49 seconds available, starting now.
To many people, crow's feet will mean a referral to Sebastian W. Crow, who swam 80 metres underwater in the swimming pool of Totnes in Devon. Crow's feet is remembered...
Stephen Fry, you challenged.
Yes, I doubt that. I doubt many people.
Yes,
Some, it's possible.
I doubt it.
Some
well.
The
trouble is, he's been very clever here. None of us can prove it, can we? It could have been that this did happen.
Let's phone
we
him
We can
up.
Prove it with a fight.
So you want him for deviation, do you?
Well, vaguely I want him for deviation, yes, but that's a separate issue, I suppose.
I've got a very fair way of handling this one. Give Stephen a bonus point for that wonderful remark of his. And Clement, we can't prove that Clement's not speaking the truth, so we have to go with you, Clement, on this one. And you get a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep going on crow's feet, 34 seconds, starting now.
Crow drowned.
Stephen, you challenge.
Well, that pause must cover his hesitation.
It's more than hesitation. It's a definite hesitation. So you have another point, Stephen, for a correct challenge this time, and you take over the subject of crow's feet. 31 seconds available, starting now.
Rather a dashing feature of people as they age, I suppose. Paul Newman has splendid crow's feet. Those little slits that come from the edge of the eyes. Rather noticeable, of course, if you're in a soot explosion or something similar and bleak, then those white striations appear, apparently causing some pleasure to women who enjoy that kind of man, rather like the flash of white on the sideburns that Stuart Graham...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of like.
Yes.
Oh, good
yes.
point. Well
yes.
spotted.
Well spotted, yes. Right. He's been playing the game for quite a while, spots things. Right, 17... No, there's 11 seconds only available for you, Clement, having got another point for a correct challenge, to go on with crow's feet starting now.
If you see a crow flying towards you, its feet are always the first thing that touch the ground. Not the knees, nor the elbows, seldom the wings.
Paul challenged.
Do crows have elbows? I don't think they do they?
No. So, Paul, you have a great challenge, and you've got in with half a second to go on crow's feet, starting now.
Crow's feet!
In this game, whoever is speaking when the whistle goes gains an extra point. On this occasion, it was Paul Merton. So at the end of that round, he has... Oh, no, he's equal with Clement Freud, actually. Stephen, Will you take the next round? Oh, and yes. The subject is... Oh, this is a good one for you, because you've written about it with great style. My school days.
Oh, Lord.
Tell us something about my school days in just a minute, starting now.
My school days were a source of unimaginable pain, despair and disappointment. For those who taught me, for myself, they were unmeasured bliss from start to finish. I was a wretched child, misbehaved at every possible point and turn. I was expelled from more schools than many of us could name. And for good reason. I was a shocker. Horrible, nasty, unpleasant, vicious, lying, duplicitous.
I've never heard anybody put himself down so much. The audience were in shock. This man we love and admire and makes us laugh. Oh, well, anyway, Paul, your challenge.
It was hesitation.
Hesitation,
he ran
yes.
out of bad things to say.
So you have the subject of my school days, and there are 37 seconds starting now.
My school days, difficult really. I went to several different schools. The first one I remember quite clearly was a nursery school in Fulham, and there was one particular incident, one lunchtime.
Lisa, you've challenged.
I got him with a bit of repetition.
You did get him with repetition. You have a point, Lisa. You have 27 seconds. Mm-hmm. Tell us something about my school days, starting now.
My school days were wonderful. I enjoyed them from beginning to end. My favourite subjects would include things like art. I was particularly good at biology, funnily enough, and PE, which is physical education. I used to trot down to the games field for a...
Clement, challenge.
Repetition if I used to.
I used to, yes.
At least I've broken the ice.
Clement, another point in 12 seconds. My school day is starting now.
My school days were varied.
Sometimes in this game, if they get the laugh, they're satisfied. Lisa, you came in first.
Hesitation.
10 more seconds on my school days, please, starting now.
I remember the lax field, otherwise known as lacrosse.
Stephen,
challenge. It's our second field. You dropped down to the games field.
You went down to the games field before. Right. Yes, indeed. Well, listen, Claire. Stephen, 7 seconds available. My school day starting now.
My school day straddled the period from round about 1960 to 1970. Bugger two. All one word.
Clement, right. You challenge. What was it for?
Repetition.
Repetition, yes.
One word. 1960, 1972,
one
word.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Okay. It appears in writing like that, but we're dealing in the world of sound, so we go by what you say. My school days, 3 seconds, Clement, starting now.
My autobiography called Freud Ego.
A very subdued laugh when you mentioned your autobiography, I thought, Clement. But you were speaking as the whistle went, so you gained an extra point, and you're now in the lead at the end of that round. Lisa Tarbuck, would you take the next round? The subject is snobs. Tell us something about snobs in just a minute, starting now.
A snob is a person who believes they are of higher social standing than some other people. Therefore, they may be rather condescending to those types. Famous snobs for me would include Captain Mannering of Dad's Army fame.
Paul.
Sort of hesitation over fame,
we
sadly.
We call that hesitation, yes. You have snobs now, and you have 44 seconds starting now.
Well, I don't know, really. I don't meet many snobs in life. I think we're all very much the same. Look at Clement. Who would see him now and think that he lost his virginity in Russell Square? Unlike most of us, it was in the open air rather than in the facility of a warm bed, but he wasn't caring about this at the time. In fact, he mentions it in his autobiography. It's called Freud Ego. He's particularly happy for me to mention...
Stephen,
Fry chance. You say Clement Freud and then Freud Ego.
That's right, yes.
Oh, did I?
Yes. 23 seconds. Stephen, you have snobs starting now.
Of course, there's inverted snobbery as well, isn't there? Nobody likes the kind of snob who thinks just because someone wears a cravat and a blazer they're a gibbering idiot, otherwise people would dislike Nicholas Parsons. And that wouldn't be fair. Various kinds, if you like, of snobism. Alan Bennett once called it an amiable vice when it looks upwards, and of course a vicious one when it's downwards that it regards. And I would agree with that.
Paul Thomas.
Downwards it regards. there was a sort of... Stephen didn't try to bluff his way out of a sentence there.
I think he kept going with style and panache, hoping you wouldn't recognise that he was rather mangling the English language, which is unusual for Stephen, but... Yes, I call that a deviation from English as we understand it. Right.
Are you?
Yes. And so, benefit of the doubt to you, Paul. Seven. No, only 1 second. He's not in again. 1 second to go, snobs, Paul, starting now.
Cravats, of course.
So Paul Martin speaking as the whistle-in gained the extra point, and he's now just ahead of Clement Freud at the end of that round. Right, Paul, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is the A to Z. So can you tell us something about the A to Z in just a minute, starting now?
The A to Z was invented in the 1930s by a woman called Mavis Drinkwater. It was an extraordinary invention because up to that point, nobody else had thought of it. When in the 1920s, for example, people used to walk around, they'd leave their house, go about 5 minutes down the road.
Stephen Charles.
It's very late, but there was 1930s and then
yes,
1920s.
Yes, it was.
Yes, the 19's coming in a lot. Yes,
ones,
a lot of, lot of dates are coming in here. 45 seconds for you, Stephen. You tell us something about the A to Z starting now.
And dear old Drinkwater's company, I think, is still in the Gray's Inn Road.
Poor Charles.
Deviation.
Why?
Well, it's not Mavis Drinkwater. I made that up.
This is a new way to play the game.
I don't believe it.
It can't be Drinkwater's company.
Yeah,
I said I think. I mean, I didn't say it was. I said I think. I mean, I can't, you know.
I think you're struggling a little here, Stephen.
No,
I think,
so?
I think he cleverly played the game a different way. He created a fiction and you took up the fiction as if...
But if I'd challenged him on it, you would have said he was right because you couldn't prove it.
As I did with...
Happened earlier.
Absolutely, yes.
So you're deeply inconsistent, if I may say so.
And you're consistently clever. It's always a challenge, Stephen.
No, just striving for fairness.
So, where were we? Who challenged who? I've forgotten. Yes, you did. So you have the subject back. 43 seconds. The A to Z starting now.
Of course, it came from the marvellous brain of Hilda Biscuit. What a wonderful.
Stephen, you challenge.
I want to give you advance warning that if I win the next challenge, I will mention Hilda Biscuit, and he says he's made her up. I want you to accept that she exists.
Well, I don't believe it. So
I don't believe
you have the benefit of the doubt, so
Biscuit.
It's evenly balanced. You see how fair I always am. So you, on this one, you have the correct challenge. You have 30.
Well, no, it really was Hilda Biscuit.
We happen to know...
Well, I don't believe it was Hilda Biscuit.
It's only because I threw you off the scent of Mavis Drinkwater. Hilda Biscuit, you actually look it up. You look in front of any A to Z and it says a product of the biscuit company.
I went with you on Mavis Drinkwater, but Hilda Biscuit, that one takes the biscuit as far as I'm concerned. Right. 38 seconds, the A to Z with you, Stephen, starting now.
It may well have been Dorothy Parker who said of...
Clement, yes.
Hesitated.
Yes, 35 seconds. The A to Z, Clement, starting now.
It was actually a woman called Phyllis Pearsall, and she owned...
Paul, you challenge.
You don't expect us to believe that.
All right, I've got to be consistent here. Yes, Paul, you get the benefit of the doubt. 29 seconds, the A to Z starting now.
It's a remarkable read. The characters aren't particularly lifelike, but the places seem so real. You can go all the way from Clapham Junction down to Brixton and across to the Oval, and then, if you fancy, you can follow the road through Kennington. This will take you to Waterloo. This kind of part of London is very nice because I like it very much. It's where Charlie...
Lisa Challenge.
Two berries.
Two berries.
Well, I became about 7 years old, didn't I? I like it very much.
Lisa, you've got him with 8 seconds to go on the subject of the A to Z, and you start now.
I find the A to Z invaluable because I've never done the knowledge which well-known London cabbies who bore the neck of...
Paul Challenge.
I've got well-known London cabbies.
Yes.
I don't think there are... Well, that's one. I don't think there are well-known London cabbies.
Well, it could be London cabbies who are well-known, and I just got the punctuation wrong vocally.
There's
lots of
spunk to this girl.
You have the audience on your side with you, and you have the chairman on your side. I quite agree, and I believe there are a lot of well-known London cabbies. There's not only Fred Housego, but
people hail a cab and they say, "Oh, good, it's Robert Watson." He'll see us safely home.
Lisa, an incorrect challenge. You have 2 seconds to tell us more about the A to Z, starting now.
The beautiful journeys that one can take.
So Lisa Tarbuck was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and has leapt forward. She's still in fourth place, but she has leapt. But she's not very far behind Clement Freud, who's just behind Stephen Fry, just behind Paul Merton, in that order. And Stephen, your turn to begin the subject. Going to the optician. Tell us something about that in this game, starting now.
This is something in melancholy to relate that I have to do more and more often these days.
Yes.
More twice.
Yes, you...
It's a trap for the unwary, this game, isn't it?
I know, yes.
Dear me.
Yes, particularly with the language. who challenged? I don't know.
I did.
You did, Clement. What was your challenge? Whisper.
He said bugger twice.
I know. But not in this round. Was that a serious challenge, then?
More and more.
More and more. Right, okay, Clement. 56 seconds. Going to the optician, starting now.
You hail a well-known cab and ask for any good optician, and the great difficulty is that if you go to an optician, you're likely to miss the place where he lives by virtue of your sight.
Paul Challenge.
Well, probably more likely the place where he works rather than where he lives, because opticians don't live in their shop. You look at me as if I'm talking nonsense.
You know,
the famous opticians of London, they don't live in their shops.
No. Mr. Dipple and Mr. Conway do.
I do have the correct challenge, Paul. I'm 44 seconds going to the optician starting now.
And if you keep on doing it, you'll go blind. That was a marvellous piece of advice that was given to me on my 18th birthday. So I went to see an optician and they said, well, you need glasses. I said, well, that's why I've come to see you. He said, well, that's lucky because...
Stephen Challenge.
I went to see him twice.
You went to see him twice.
Well, I had to do both eyes. It's a false economy, otherwise.
I'm giving out bonus points. He gets one for that. Yeah. You get a round of applause from the audience, right? And but Stephen got a point for a correct challenge. 34 seconds, Stephen. Going to the optician, starting now.
A mild astigmatism is what I was first prescribed as having, and myopia in the right eye. It's now developed into presbyopia, which is Greek court for.
Clement, challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there was a hesitation,
wasn't there?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. You were searching for the Greek, I think, but 26 seconds.
Oh, now, please.
Going to the optician. Going to the optician, Clement, starting now.
The extraordinary thing about going to opticians is they won't see you unless you have glasses or some other...
Lisa Chums.
It was a bit of a hesitation.
It was a bit of a hesitation. Lisa, you got him 20 seconds ago, going to the optician, starting now.
I went to the opticians when I was a young girl, as I was studying quite hard, and I was beginning to get a funny turn in my eye. So Mum took me down to a guy, an ophthalmic opticians, who prescribed to me...
Stephen Chums.
Well, who prescribed him? It's not mean of me.
Right.
I'm sorry. You're right to hiss. Hiss off. Yes.
You haven't won many friends with that challenge.
No, I'm sorry. It was cruel. Right. But then that's patronising them to treat her as if she's made
but
of glass.
Correct.
She's strong as we are, you know.
Maybe I like it.
It was a correct challenge, Stephen. So 7 seconds. Tell us more about going to the optician starting now.
Can't get on with contact lenses. Not at all. Tried them for about 2 weeks. Made me itch. Caused my lacrimal ducts to swell and expand.
So Stephen Fry, with one point when the whistle went, but also other points in the round, has moved forward, and he's now one ahead of Paul Merton, and he's 3 ahead of Clement Freud, and he's 1 or 2 ahead of Lisa Tarbuck. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is that sinking feeling. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
As the Titanic left Southampton, there's a film actually made by Bill Forsyth called That Sinking Feeling. It was made in the 1970s, and it's quite a good movie. It's all made on a very low budget. It's about a gang of Glaswegian youngsters who disguise themselves as various objects. I don't know what I'm talking about. The Titanic, which I've mentioned twice... I shouldn't have said that out loud, should I?
Stephen Challenge.
Well, I would have thought that a self-confessed person not knowing what he was talking about was
Yes, that's right, yes. 43 seconds for you, Stephen, that sinking feeling starting now.
No, really, he did know what he was talking about, because that sinking feeling was the one that preceded Gregory's Girl, and in Bill Forsyth's canon, it's conceived.
Clement Challenge.
I thought Bill Forsyth, because
No, he said Paul.
You knew you'd heard the name before.
Exactly right. Yep.
But it came out of a different mouth and a different person.
Yes. Yes. Quite right.
And he's facing you and the other one sitting beside you. And,
thank you.
Very easy to make a mistake like that, yes. 37 seconds, an incorrect challenge, Stephen, so you keep that sinking feeling starting now.
In this game, as a way, as you start optimistically and youthfully off on a sentence, you develop that sinking feeling as the end approaches and you wonder how on earth you're going to round it off in some semblance of sense. It doesn't often happen, sometimes it does, and when that occurs, of course, you're very pleased, but that sinking feeling always tells you that at some point you're going to collapse in a giggle of words and a fart of nonsense, which is just about happening to me now as I feel that sinking feeling coming upon me, and I know that I'm not going to get properly to the end of this assemblage of words.
Clement, your challenge.
Deviation.
Why?
Yes, he was going to get to the end.
That is an impossible challenge on which to make a decision.
I was waiting for the fart of nonsense.
I thought he illustrated that quite well, actually. But so he was going to get to the end. That is your challenge.
But I didn't because he interrupted me. But
you didn't because
he
interrupted me. So it's an impossible decision. The only thing I can do on this occasion is a thing I do about once in every series.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Please.
You mustn't give too much of my private life away,
sorry.
Please. And especially the way you say it, gives them all kinds of imagination that they've gone. What I do is ask the audience to be the superior judge, and with the wisdom I can see that's in this audience at the present moment, and the wit and the solid, would you all decide whether Clement Freud deserves his challenge, and therefore you either cheer for the correct challenge and you boo for an incorrect challenge, and you all do it together now? I think the boos had it. So it was an incorrect challenge. So, Stephen, you have another point.
Thank you very much.
And you have that sinking feeling.
I owe a lot to booze.
Yes. You've had time to gather your forces and your mental acumen together for another 9 seconds on that sinking feeling starting now.
That sinking feeling, something, of course, that golfers look very much forward to as they...
Clement Freud challenge.
He said, of course, before.
You did say, of course,
before. I certainly did.
Yes.
I think I say a lot.
Yes.
Sorry.
So, Clement, at last you've got your point, and you've got 7 seconds, that sinking feeling starting now.
If you putt a golf ball on, say, the 11th green at St. Andrews, and it goes in...
So, Clement Freud has moved forward. He's still in third place, but not far behind our joint leaders now, which is Stephen Fry and Paul Merton. And we're moving into the last round. Stephen, it's your turn to begin. And the subject, this is a good subject, Zeus.
Zeus.
Tell us something about Zeus in just a minute, starting now.
Well, it's interesting, actually, because Uranus and Gaia, who were Warners and Titans of the era before Zeus really reigned, they told Kronos that he would be subsumed and dethroned by his own child. And so he took to the habit...
Paul Talent.
Isn't this just gossip?
Give Paul another bonus point for that. But is it incorrect, Challenge? No, Zeus was the son of Kronos.
Was he really?
Yes, he really was. So you still have Zeus, and you have another point, and you have 43 seconds starting now.
So the aforementioned monstrous divinity, from whom we get our Greek word for time, took to the habit of eating all his children. Now, the mother, Rhea, who was pregnant with the baby Zeus, didn't like this idea at all, so she hid in Crete in a cave in Dicte and gave birth to the child.
Clement Challenge.
We've had a child.
We have.
The child came too often. So, Clement, you've gone in with 26 seconds. Tell us something about Zeus, starting now.
Zeus was the sort of Nicholas Parsons of his day. The god of gods.
Stephen's challenge.
Zeus was butch. He was all-knowing. He was...
I don't know why you clap. Just rock. Oh, there we are. Stephen, you challenged it.
Yes.
Yes, and what is it?
Deviation. He really couldn't have been further from Nicholas Parsons of his time. The Carcass Juice was arbitrary. He wasn't judicious. He was capricious. He was mean. He was unfair. He went to bed with little boys. I mean, all kinds of things. He was totally different from the Nicholas Parsons
Nicholas,
we know.
Nicholas, it's up to you. Are you like Zeus?
To do is throw it open to Nicholas from time to time.
Shall we ask the audience?
No, what I have to say is, in just a minute, I have to, on occasions to display Zeus-like qualities and be a god.
I think so, yes. Yeah.
And make arbitrary decisions which you all have to accept,
yeah,
like any god.
And you once went to bed with a swan, I think, as well, didn't you?
It wasn't just very comfortable, I can tell you. They peck a lot.
Yes.
So, an incorrect challenge. No. Clement, you still have the subject. You have 20 seconds on Zeus, starting now.
Mrs. Zeus, whose name was Hera, nagged him appallingly. He was well.
Stephen.
Sorry, I thought there was a hesitation there.
There was a hesitation.
Between two words.
Oh, yes.
There was a hesitation, Stephen, so you've got the point anyway. 15 seconds, Zeus starting now.
Romans called him Jupiter or Sky Father, and also Jove, from which we get our word jovial, a quality much possessed by.
Paul Challenge.
Did we have father before?
Sky Father is all one word, it's Jupiter.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
sorry.
It is, a Sky Father. It's a sort of mythological word,
I'm
the Sky Father.
Like I know.
Jupiter. That's what Jupiter is.
Stephen!
Jupiter is early Latin from which Pater came, meaning father.
Yes.
And Jupiter is sky father. That's what it means. One word.
No, it was me who said that Kronos was...
I can't tell the difference between you and Zeus. I mean, it's...
I used the word father, Stephen.
Did you?
Yes. 9 seconds on Zeus. Still with you, Stephen, starting now.
He liked both girls and boys. Europa.
And Clement Challenge.
We've had boys before.
You've had boys.
Single boy. I accused you of not going to bed with boys earlier outside the
show. That's outside the thing you did.
But that wasn't during
you
the
round. You only used the boy singular in the show. That's right.
Yeah.
Boys was outside the show. You had a boy in the show.
So, now hang on a minute. You go to bed with boys outside of the show.
And I'm Zeus-like in the show, but utterly un-Zeus-like outside.
Right.
And it's still with you, Stephen, on Zeus in 6 seconds, starting now.
Ganymede, a very comely youth, or Ephebe, was actually promoted into heaven, and we get our name Catamite.
So it now remains for me to give you the final situation. Well, Lisa, who gives wonderful value, and we love having on the show, finished just in fourth place. And she was a few points behind Clement Freud, who finished in third place. He was only 4 points behind Paul Merton, who was in second place, and he was a number of points behind Stephen Fry, because that one subject earlier on, he surged with such an incredible pace. He's got a commanding lead. And we say, Stephen, you are our winner this week. It only remains for me to say thank you to these four exciting players of the game, Paul Merton, Stephen Fry, Lisa Tarbuck and Clement Freud. Also to thank Janet Staplehurst for helping me with a stopwatch and blowing her whistle so delicately when the 60 seconds was up. And also we are indebted to Ian Messiter, who created this game, and we thank our producer Claire Jones for trying to keep us in order, and we are grateful to this audience who've cheered us on our way magnificently. From them, from me, from the panel and me, Nicholas Parsons, goodbye!
At the same time next week, just a minute, we'll be coming from Winchester, where Nicholas Parsons is joined by Paul Merton, Linda Smith, Kit Hesketh-Harvey and Chris Neal.